The Lord will be with us this morning. I'd like to read to you from the 13th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 13. As always, please keep me in your prayers. I want to read the first five verses of Deuteronomy chapter 13. Where the word of the Lord reads, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee." As the calendar reading has directed us this past couple of weeks through the book of Deuteronomy, there's been several things that have sort of popped out of the page at me. Last week we made an attempt to try to speak to you from the 11th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy concerning the seven characteristics of Canaan land, which are still true in the New Testament church. And as I read through this particular chapter, there was some things that became a burden to me to speak to you about. And I believe that as we read through the words of Moses, it's careful for us to fall into the trap of believing that the words that were written in the Old Testament are somehow not applicable to us anymore in the New Testament age. But if you'll remember, the Lord Jesus Christ referenced Moses over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 5, he told the ones that were gathered in his presence, he said, "For had you believed Moses, ye would also believe me. For Moses wrote of me." That tells me that there's not a misdirection, if you will, between the Old and the New Testaments. It's a flow from the Old and the New. And if rightly applied, these teachings that are contained in the Old Testament are just as applicable to us as they were the days that Moses was inspired by God to speak them unto the children of Israel. And there's three things in Deuteronomy chapter 13 that if the Lord would be with us this morning, I want to bring forth to your attention. The first is, beware of false religions. Beware of false religions. You know, the people of Israel were no different than you and I today in terms of how they mingled in their surroundings in Canaan land. There were other groups that were present there whenever they inhabited that land. And what did the Lord tell them in the verses that I've just read to you? He said to beware of the gods in which they serve. He said, beware of the speech of the ones who preach unto those particular people. He said, beware of false religions, beware of false prophets. But you know, one of the things that became abundantly clear that hopped out of this page to me is I used to believe that there was a characteristic that the people of Israel could use to determine who was a false prophet and who was a true prophet from God. And that was that if the things in which the man spake came to pass, then he was a true prophet. It was one that you could follow. But these particular verses that I've just read to you show you that there's another characteristic that a prophet had to show. It was not just that the events came to pass. If you'll remember in the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, if you're making notes today, Deuteronomy 18:22 and 1 Samuel 9:6,
tell you that a prophet, whenever a prophet speaks in his name, if a thing happened or come to pass that he has spoken unto you, he is sent from God. But these particular verses that I've just read to you tell you that there's another characteristic that a man of God must fulfill. And that is, not only shall that which he speaks come to pass, that which he's telling you must guide you in the way in which the Lord has said you shall go. And you say, what do you mean, brother? Well, read to me. Let's read again the first two verses that I've just read to you. He said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. We're here, the Lord is warning them about false professors, about false teachers in their midst. And you say, well, hold on a minute, the guy must not be too false. That which he is speaking unto him comes to pass. Let me warn you this right here concerning false religion. Every heresy has a little bit of truth to it. Every heresy that exists in this world has a little bit of truth to it. If it didn't have a little bit of truth to it, nobody would ever pay attention to it. What was the words of the very serpent in the garden back in Genesis chapter 3? If you eat of this fruit, what did he do? He said, ye shall not surely die. Four words right, one word wrong, completely changed the meaning of that which God had warned Adam and Eve about. It had a little bit of truth in it, did it not? And here you have a man who has spoken something, and that event came to pass. But what is it that should lead us to believe them or to follow them? Not only shall the things that they speak contain a little bit of truth, it should lead us into the way in which God has guided us in His Word. The Scripture teaches us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means, you say, how am I supposed to know whether or not I'm supposed to listen to somebody, Brother Will? How do I know if indeed the man I'm listening to on the radio, how am I supposed to know you, Brother Will, whether or not the things that you're showing unto me are the truth according to God's Word? Are you one of these that He's warning the people about? If I ever lead you in a direction not according to the way of God, then you have the authority and the right to question the direction that I'm leading you in. This is our rule of faith and practice. This is the inspired Word of God. You know, back in the Old Testament, they didn't even have these privileges that you and I are blessed to be able to have today. If at any point in time I come to you and I say the words, I know it's not in here, but you just got to trust me. There ought to be some sort of tingling in your ears whenever I make those comments. You just have to trust me. You know, that's just like when you go to get your car worked on, and they can't really tell you why you need all these couple of thousand. And I just now noticed that Brother Brant and them are here again today, and I've mentioned a mechanic. You know, I haven't mentioned a mechanic since y'all have been down here before. I don't know why that just popped into my mind. But you know, I'm going to be a little bit wary if I get back to pick up my car that has been serviced, and they tell me that they've put a new oil, they put a new air filter and so on and so forth in it, and yet they never even show me proof that it needed anything new. Well, the same thing goes to the minister of the gospel. He has to be able to take you to the Word of God to show you why something is true. It's the inspired Word of God, and it's what God has given us in this age to be able to tell whether or not the man of God is preaching the truth unto you. It's not only that he says something that is right, he's got to lead you in the way of God. See, listen to what he says in verse 4 of these particular verses. What is it that the man of God is going to lead you in the direction of? Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, fear Him, keep His commandments, obey His voice, serve Him, cleave unto Him. It has nothing to do with the man who is standing before it. He says you're to do these things for God's glory and for His sake, because He deserves it. Not for me. Not for me. You know, I remember the day that I was ordained into the ministry. Many of you were there that day. And Brother Lonnie told me there that day, as he charged me, he said, if they fail to listen to you whenever you lead them according to God's Word, they're not rebelling against you, they're rebelling against God. And if the same thing still stands true today, if the minister of the gospel is preaching the truth unto the people of God and they refuse to follow in it, they're not rebelling against the man, they're rebelling against God. And the same thing goes whenever people follow men as opposed to following God. You're not just rebelling. You're not just following the man. You're rebelling against God whenever you don't take heed unto His commandments. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the same warnings in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He said, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. And I got to tell you, children of God, today, this is not something that just existed back then that has somehow gone dormant during our day and time. You know, I've got kin people that... you know, the only thing I can usually tell when my daddy's fixing to tell me something that is not good news, because he'll always start it with bless their heart. That's the way he eases the blunt blow of him about to tell me something. He'll say, and so-and-so, I talked to him the other day, bless their heart. And then he'll tell me what they said. And I remember not too long ago, I was talking to some of my loved ones, and they told me that they are beginning to go to these conferences where Joyce Meyer is the speaker at these particular conferences. And they said, you know, she calls herself a preacher, but we don't look at her that way. I want to tell you now, children of God that are gathered at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church this morning, you better be very careful about what you let enter your ears and your eyes. Because if you think that somehow you can just filter it as it goes in and that it'll never have any effect on your brain, you're wrong this morning. You're wrong. I tell you, you're wrong by the Word of God, because He says, not only He says, beware of false prophets, is what the Lord Jesus Christ wrote unto them. He said, do we gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You know, one of the things that I can, that beginning to make my eyebrow raise is not only when they make the comment that you've got to trust in me. I know it's not in the Bible, but you have to trust in me. Another thing is what do they let people call them? What does the man that stands before them let people call them that's seated out there before them? Do they want the people that's seated out there before them to look upon them as God and Him alone? Do they call Him reverend? I tell you, I ask you today, because the Scripture says in the 111th Psalm that holy and reverend is His name, and He's the only one due that title. But if you'll get to know some of them, what you'll indeed find is that's what they want the people to look upon them as being God Himself. They think that they're imparting salvation unto them, and a lot of times they're taking the role of God and taking the glory that is due Him and imparting it onto themselves. And I tell you today, beware of them. They exist out there in the world today. If you think that you can just turn on your TV, turn on your radio on the way to work every morning and tune into these ones, then and think that you can just do away with it after you get out of the car, I'm warning you, you're playing with fire. Because the Lord has said to beware of these ones that speak these things unto you. It was true for the people of God during Moses' day. It's still true today. Beware of them. They've all got a little bit of truth in them. You know, go with me over to 1 Kings chapter 13. And let's look here at an example. Let's apply it. 1 Kings chapter 13. It shows me that a false prophet can bring down some of the strongest of strong oxen that exist. Because here you read of a man that is a bold prophet of God that was brought down by a false prophet. By a false prophet that was not, that everything he said wasn't an error. You'll see that the Lord even spoke some things unto him. You know, the same thing, the same warning exists for false prophets as exists for witchcraft and for sins like the Lord warned them of. You know, if you'll remember during the days of King Saul, did that witch not pull up Samuel into King Saul's presence right there? And you say, what do you think that was, Brother Will? I'll tell you what it was. It was the Lord showing us that there's power in that foolishness. There's a reason why He wants you to stay. If there was no power or no danger in it, He wouldn't tell you to beware of it. But there's power in that foolishness. And the same thing goes with what we have here. If we read in 1 Kings chapter 13, we have a man. It starts in verse 1, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee. And men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. Look how bold this man was. He came before a king, and he told that king, he said, this is what's fixing to take place. And not only is something going to take place in the future, I'm going to show you something right now in your presence to prove that these things are going to take place in the future. He says that this altar shall be torn in twain, and men's bones shall be burned upon it for their sins. This is what's going to take place here. Can you imagine? I think sometimes we can get lost in just how bold in Christ, in God, that a man had to be to go to a king to speak these words. Would you have the courage today, if God gave it to you, to go and speak unto a king and declare his sins unto him? I pray I would, but I'm going to tell you, never get lost in how much courage it had to take for a man of God to do this, to go to a king and to follow the commandments and what God had burdened him to do, to go tell a man what's fixing to happen to his kingdom. And the man says, it says, it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it to him again. I tell you, that's a marvelous miracle that you just saw. A man tried to stop a prophecy that God was declaring, some actions that God said were going to take place, and his hand just dries up in the midst. You don't believe that the man, that this particular man of God was being blessed from on high? Look at how God is manifesting his ministry in the presence of this one this day. One of the evidences that the Lord is blessing a man is he manifesting his presence with the man of God. And that's exactly what he's doing right here. His adversary that's going to stop him and hit him, he dries up his hand. That should be a showstopper, if you will. Everybody should have stopped and taken heed, saying this man is certainly speaking the truth unto us. But if we continue to read down, what we would read is that the altar was rent in twain. And the man of God did speak the truth unto Jeroboam that day. And even Jeroboam, I'm going to read some more here in a minute, but I've got to skip us down, if you will, to about verse 11. I'm going to paraphrase down about verse 11. Because this miracle had been performed in the presence of King Jeroboam, what he wanted this man to do is to come and to dwell with him. To come and to spend time with him in his palace. And that particular man told him, he said, I cannot, because God told me not to dwell here, but to find another way out. He said, you don't dwell here. You don't spend time there after you go and you declare these things. You leave from their presence. But verse 11 kind of transitions, if you will, and teaches us that when an old prophet was in Bethel and had heard about the miracle that was done, he wanted that man to come and to eat with him and to spend time with him. It's not a guaranteed surety that age means wisdom. Here the scripture says that this particular man is an old prophet that wants to call this other prophet into his presence to spend time with him. In verse 11, now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the works which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father, and their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen the way that the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. The man then invites him into the place in which the Lord had forbade that prophet to dwell. He said, you don't spend time in this place. But that prophet beckoned him and said that the Lord hath told me that he is that you're supposed to dwell with me. He said, then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to the way by the way which thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. And the same things that I've tried to say unto you to this point are manifesting themselves right here. And that is that a man is telling another man that God has shown me something, and you're supposed to listen to me and not what God has shown you. Beware of false prophets. That's exactly what a false prophet does. He says, you don't listen to what God has shown you. You listen to me. Even in the midst of the building project that we were undertaking here, there were times that God bore down on me a burden like it's hard for me to even stand in your presence today and explain the way that God had told me at times that the Lord is with you, that the Lord is with you, that the Lord is with you. And I tried, whenever the Lord burdened me with those particular burdens, to take you to the Word of God and show you how the Lord blessed those people to build the house of God. I didn't just stand before you and say, listen to me for my sake. I tried to take you to the Word of God and say, look, when God is in the matter, look at how He blesses and look at how He drives you forward. And that's what a man of God should do, is take you to His Word and not take you just to His credit and to the man's credit. He should take you to God's Word and show you where the Lord is blessing when the Lord is present. Here you've got a man that says, an angel spoke unto me and told me that it's okay for you to come. You know, how easy it is. And you say, how do we apply this You know, you don't even have to apply it to a prophet or a teacher. You can apply this to a person in this world that tries to convince you to commit sins that you know are wrong. They try to convince you to do things that you know that you've read before are wrong. You know, one of the things that it could be, you know, the one of the biggest challenges we have in the New Testament church is to encourage our young people who still have to endure the challenges of high school and peer pressure and college, is to take heed unto the Word of God and not just let society determine what's right and what's wrong, but the Word of God. You know, one of the things that they'll always speak unto you, so-and-so is doing it, and they're not, you know, the Lord hadn't struck them down dead. So-and-so is doing it, so it must be all right. Well, no, it's not. That which is in the Word of God is the only thing which is right and good in the eyes of a holy God. And here you have a man that didn't listen to what God had told him. He listened to what that prophet had told him. Prophet, if you will. He went back and he ate at that house. And the Scriptures tells us and records that after this fact that he was slain in the way as he left that house. The Lord left his carcass there in the middle of the road for all the passers-by to see. And I tell you, the same thing can be said of us whenever we don't take heed unto the Word of God. Our carcass will be laid in the way for our deadness, if you will, in terms of our service to God, will be laid in the way for the onwalkers to see whenever we have neglected to follow the Word of God. He says, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. The second thing that he tells them in Deuteronomy chapter 13 to beware of is he says unto them to beware of ungodly family members. Beware of ungodly family members. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know I run the risk today of stepping on a heap of toes and making a lot of people offended. But I tell you, if it wasn't in the Word of God, I wouldn't charge you with it today. But if you think that just because somebody is your husband, wife, children, aunt, uncle, that means that you have to take heed unto everything that they say, you're going to make a great error in your walk with God. Because he tells the people of Israel right here to beware of ungodly family members. Beware of it. Start with me in verse 6. He says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first put upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of bondage of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among you. Now I think it's a good time for Brother Will to stop and to clarify something. We've now read twice where the rule, if you will, that God had given them was that when they came upon the false prophets, when they came upon the ungodly family members, that their sentence was death sentence. No, Brother Will is not teaching that that's still applicable today as far as stoning them to death. You know, we're not going to get much attention from Channel 5 News, but I believe they'd even come up here to broadcast that crazy preacher that's telling his congregation to do that. No, that's not what I'm saying. The teaching is applicable to you. And you say, well, how do we kill them? You kill their influence in your homes. It's the way that you follow the commandments of Moses and still adhere to the teachings of the New Testament church concerning dealing with ungodly family members, is they should have no influence in your home. You know, one of the things that's the most disturbing to be able to witness during the New Testament age is to know that the Lord has blessed a certain family to be able to come into contact with godly influences in their life. But yet they still continue to turn to the same ungodly influences that are in their family for advice, for counsel, for anything that they may want. Why is that? Because the people who can give them the godly advice, they don't like that advice. They don't like what they're telling them. And so they go and where their flesh is fed, and they go right back to what Moses was warning the people of Israel about today. I mean, back then. And that is that they go to where the advice is no good. They go to the ungodly. And I tell you, child of grace, today he says in verse 7, in verse 6, he says that thou shalt go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers. They're serving gods. There's gods galore in this world today. That people who you say they may be touched by God by grace, but they don't seem to want to follow the truth in the Lord as He has given it to His church here in this world. And you're going to make a grave error in your walk with God by not killing their influence with your children and with your home. Doesn't mean you have to be ugly to them. It doesn't mean that if they call upon you for help that you can't grant it unto them. But they shouldn't serve in a position of officer, if you will, in your house. The Scriptures teach us that, again, going back to the example of seeking advice and counsel, you should seek it from those who the Lord has blessed you to come in contact with, who you know has given you God the counsel. And even if it stings your flesh, remember the proverb whenever you hear it, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I think, am I the only one that's standing before you today that can give you an example of a wound that was from a faithful friend that turned me in a direction that was better than the direction I was going? A lot of people would say, I can't turn my back on my family. I can't turn my back on them. I can't do this. I can't do that because they're my family. Well, I tell you, child of grace, you either can head in the direction of the Lord or you can head in the direction they're going, but you can't both go in the same direction if they're not following God. If they're not following God. One of the things that I've tried to encourage is if somebody that you love is headed not in the direction that you want them to go, is you turn and you let them see you walk in the right direction and let the Lord take care of it from there. One of the worst things you can ever do is make them think that you're okay with what they're doing by walking with them. You need to follow the Lord and follow Him only, and don't follow the wicked people or the ungodly of this world. Now notice, when I say ungodly, I'm saying that they're not following the straight and narrow way. I'm not saying that they can't belong to God by grace. But I'm telling you, I've seen some mighty ignorant people that I believe that belong to God by grace. And He has changed their heart, but yet they still walk according to the foolishness of this world. I see them in church on Sunday, but I see them living like a heathen all week long. And I'm telling you, I believe that God has done something to their heart, but they're foolish enough not to follow the Lord. They're still following the ways of this world. That's my description of what I believe is going on here. You know, I don't believe even Moses was saying here in these particular verses that some of these people that got caught up in this don't belong to God by grace. That's a Calvinistic, legalistic doctrine that the church does not adhere to today. That the church has never adhered to. The Lord teaches us that even His children can be rebellious and walk in a way in which is not pleasing in His sight. And if you're not aware, and you not make yourself mindful of the sins and the wrongdoing of those people, and you follow them, you'll make an error in your walk with the Lord. He tells them, he says, beware of false prophets. Beware of ungodly family members. Beware of ungodly family members. I tell you, the Lord has blessed you to be a part of His church in this world. The Lord's blessed you with a family. The Lord's given you people that love God as you do. The Lord's given you a family. And you know, again, I've quoted in Beware of False Prophets that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted in Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets, just as Moses warned them here. Well, the same thing goes. Moses says, beware of ungodly family members. And Jesus Christ spoke the same thing. He said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. For a man shall be for a father shall be at variance against his son, for a mother shall be at variance against her mother-in-law, and so on and so forth. He teaches us that it's not according to a family alignment that the New Testament church continues. It's according to people who have a like precious faith in their love and trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the family in this world. I can look back, and I know I've told this story before, but maybe some people haven't heard it, and maybe it'll benefit some who haven't. is that my wife and I, whenever we joined the Old Baptist Church, we were the only two in our family of a multitude of people that were had anything to do with the Old Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you, it did not sit well with a lot of family. They didn't like it. They let it be known they didn't like it. And they even let it be known at the house of God that they didn't like it. But the Lord blessed us to press on, and it was not easy. But the Lord blessed us. Over and over again, I look back and I look at the brothers and the sisters that I made in the midst of that, and the daddies and the mamas that I made. And the Lord, He upheld His portion of His word, that we will find those relationships in the New Testament churches. We're faithful to follow Him as opposed to following the ones of this world. He says, beware of false prophets. Beware of ungodly family members. You need to beware of it. I tell you, one of the characteristics that you can find from the... And you say, how am I supposed to tell if they're trying to lead me in a way which is not in accordance to thy word? Did they try to pull you away from the flock? Did they do anything they can? Because they don't want to do what they want to do with you in the presence of the church folk. They want to pull you away. They want to take you for your weekends. They want to take you away from the presence of people who would have you walk in a godly way. They want to get you away from them. They're like the boy that wants to court the girl, and they don't want to court her in the presence of her mom and dad. I was joking. I said it jokingly. But I'm not kidding. And I hope I'm still blessed to be able to stick with it. because I believe it's the right way to try to go. Is that whenever somebody wants to court my daughter one of these days, they can court her right there in our house. They can have supper with us. They can watch the Braves game with us. I'll walk him to his car and he can go home. I'm not saying that at some point in time they might not want some time away from us, but for a while, that's the way it's going to be. And I'm hoping that the Lord will bless us to be able to have people come into our family who are not trying to pull us away from ours, but instead want to be a part of ours until it's time for them to leave and cleave on their own. You understand? It'd be wrong of me to continue on with that mindset when it's time for them to leave and cleave. But the same thing goes with the influence of ungodly family members. Do they try to pull you away from the house of God and from the worship to Him? Or do they support you in that and encourage you? And Moses warned the children of Israel of that. The last one is contained in the last verses 12 through 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 13. And it's beware of ungodly neighbors. Beware of ungodly neighbors. He says, if thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, that thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the streets thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be in heap forever. It shall not be built again. He's speaking here of a whole city that's going astray. He's telling them to beware of your ungodly neighbors. Beware of your ungodly neighbors. You know, the Bible has a ton to say about neighbors. It has a ton to say about people that you call your neighbors. You'll read some more than a dozen proverbs that address neighbors. If you do a word search, make sure you spell it differently than we spell it today, or you won't get it to pop up. But there's a ton that the Scripture says about neighbors. And it says, I shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, going all the way back to the commandments. Not covet your neighbor's possessions. There's all sort of teachings about who you call and who you consider to be your neighbors. And the children of Israel had neighbors. They had neighbors. They all dwelt together. And the Lord warned them that even the presence of the ungodly that live around you can cause you trouble. Can cause you trouble. You know, the things that pop out at me, if you will, about neighbors and about communities is I think about the city of Ephesus. When the Apostle Paul came in and he evangelize, if you will, that particular city and establish a church by God's grace there. You know, this was a particular city that was eat up with the worship of a goddess named Diana. As a matter of fact, if you'll remember from the book of Acts, the ironsmiths they had a fit because the Apostle Paul was drawing the city away from their particular trade. They wanted to continue to make this goddess for people to worship. And the Lord blessed the Apostle Paul to be able to establish people to pull them away from that. You know, there's a multitude of different gods that your neighbors may serve. You know, they may serve a god of weekend recreation. And it is a god, and if I ever believed it, I certainly believe it now because our kids are in ball. And you know, I being the coach and it being a wet weather, you know, you start to hear the grumblings that we're not getting the practice that we need. And yes, we may get whipped by a lot of those other teams. And one of them made a comment at the meeting before we left that some of the other teams are getting out here at 8 and 9 o'clock and practicing. And I said, we won't. We won't. I don't care if it rains a 40-day rain like what caused the Noah's Ark to float. We won't be out here that late because there's nothing more important than for a family to be at home at night. There's not a ball game. There's not anything that's more important than for a family to be at home at night and for them to have order in their home. There's a God that our neighbors, they worship them. And it doesn't matter whether or not they say they believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter what they say. It's what they're doing. And the Lord says you better beware of it. You better be mindful of it. Because if you don't remove that influence from your life, it's going to cause you trouble. You know, the Lord's church has weathered the storms of time by faithful people taking heed unto the teachings of the Word of God and by saying that I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And yes, it is by the providential hand of God that the Lord has laid His hand upon those faithful and has said, you're going to be my light out in this world. And there's been a multitude of people in the midst of that who have just said, I will not walk therein. I will not take heed unto those teachings. I believe I can still mingle, if you will. I believe I can still do these things and still be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not that the church boots them out. It's they lose interest in the church. They lose interest in things of God. And the Lord doesn't bless them to love it anymore like they loved it whenever they came into it. That's what the... Can you imagine what these... what was on the mind of these children whenever they had been wandering in that wilderness for the time that they had is look at what we've got before us. Look at the things that we're fixing to get to enjoy. And the Moses is telling them, I understand that there's some things that you're fixing to get to enjoy, but make sure that you keep these things in mind or you won't get to enjoy them anymore. They won't be a blessing to you anymore. All of these grapes and fruit that you're about to enjoy, it'll be no more. The Lord will remove these things from you because you haven't taken heed unto false prophets, unto ungodly family members, and to ungodly neighbors. You know, the church, again, I speak of the church continuing for so many years. It's continued in the midst of a corrupt and perverse generations for many years. It has not been a holy society that has kept the church going. You understand that this morning? A lot of people... you know, think that the church, I tell you, the church thrives more in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation than it does in times of freedom. I think we can look at the history of the church and readily make that statement, is that when the people of God have actually had to sacrifice something for their faith, they've been more faithful. And in these days when everything's so easy going, a lot of people believe that they can get just as much God somewhere else as they can at the house of God. And they've grown lackadaisical in their discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I again, as I read through these wise words, I stated the setting last week of this particular, of Deuteronomy 11, that I read from. And I think I meant to do that this morning, but I didn't because I just said it last week. But it's important for us to remember that Moses here he's making his final declaration unto the people of Israel. He's not being blessed to go in. to the land of Canaan, he's gonna pass on this side of Jordan. He's not blessed to be able to go in. But the Lord here is blessing him to issue some words of wisdom to the ones who are going in. And that's what he's giving throughout this. He's giving a summary of the law. He's given a summary of the warnings that have taken place, and also a reminder of some things that have already happened to him. I tell you, child of grace, today the Lord has given us plenty in this word that we have before us today. He would have never told us that all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He didn't give us that scripture and then not give us, he didn't give us those verses and not give us the scripture to be able to teach us what we need to be able to walk with him in this world. He's given us those instructions. He's given it to us in the Old Testament. He's given it to us in the New Testament. And may the Lord bless us to take earnest heed into the things in which we have heard and not think that we're smarter than God. You ever think that you read something in God's Word and think, well, I understand that I may be guilty of that, but I just don't think it'll happen to me. You know what you just said is you're a little bit smarter than God. That you think that those warnings that he's given you, they won't apply to you. They won't get you. It won't catch up to you. You're saying, Lord, I understand that you've written this, but it's just for the weaker ones. It's for the more ignorant. It won't happen to me. I'm a little bit smarter. What you said is I'm a little bit smarter than God. Take it from somebody who hasn't literally uttered those words but has done the actions before. It will catch up to you. The Lord is smarter than us. His vision is so much more than what we can even imagine. We look at things on this level, and he looks at things way down the road that shows us that he's much smarter than us. We want him to guide us with his eye, because he's looking a lot further off in the distance than we are and seeing the errors of our ways. And so may the Lord bless us to take heed unto these three things that were given in Deuteronomy 13. Beware of false prophets, beware of ungodly family members, and beware of ungodly neighbors. And take heed unto them and apply them into our lives is my prayer. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.